Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. This is Troy Dooley, and we are having just an awesome day. You know, in the spring and fall down here in Florida, it's kind of crazy. You'll get beautiful fall-like days, and then all of a sudden the temperature switch, it'll start moving out of the south, and it feels like summertime again. And we had that happen, so we had low-lying fog today. It was just beautiful to watch it rolling in as the sun came up. And as you guys know, I start my breakfast, my days off early, usually up at Harbor Docks. I'm usually at the harbor just checking out the fishermen as they go out and seeing what's going on. And my son Dalton is in the process of launching a brand-new network marketing career with a company. He's fallen in love with the company, and I support him in that. And in doing this, he's been coming to meet me at breakfast, and we've literally been going over his plan using Alan Fine's Grow method and asking the questions and looking at what the goals are, you know, looking at what the reality is, looking at what the options are and what the way forward is. And it's exciting to see how you can apply this in every area of your life. And today, in Chapter 8, what we're covering is, how do I use this? Let me count the ways. And I thought, man, this is sweet. Because we talk about it on this radio show from a business standpoint. You know, whether you're a leader, whether you're a CEO, whether you're in the field, we like to look at things from the business standpoint. But how can you use the GROW method in different aspects of life? And Alan shares a story in here first that I thought was very good. He says, one day I was driving to a nearby city. I received a call from one of my staff, a woman who had traditionally been a chronic complainer and very negative. She was calling to inform me that the issue she was having with one of her internal customers who did not understand our company process. Now, what he does is he says, in the past, I addressed the complaints from her by telling her steps to take. He said, this time I decided to change my approach. So as I closed in on my destination, I told her, we have 15 minutes, so what do you want to get out of it? She was able to determine her SMART goal fairly quickly. Also, the set time helped me to move her rapidly through the reality stage and into fantasy land. And the short of the story is, they identified the option, set up the action, and the call was over. The next day, she reported that she had a very successful result with the action plan. Now, that's pretty typical. You know, when you're utilizing something, you want to put it to work, you want to jam up, you want to go with it. But how do you use it outside of work? How about if you're an athlete? What happens if you're coaching your son's soccer team or your son or daughter's baseball team? See, I think that might be something to look at. And Alan, again, he says, team grow on the baseball field. And he shares a story in here about several years ago, the kids were playing in a tournament, and they were losing. The first game out, it just sucked. So one of his students said, hey, can I talk to the kids? Can I talk to the boys and see if I can use this new method? Mom goes in and starts talking to the boys. She wanted to find out, what was the interference? What is actually causing the problem? So here's what she did. After the tournament, I approached my husband and said, hey, I'd really like to teach the coaches some things I've learned about performance at work. Would you have an objection if I inserted myself into this situation? He said, you know, I think it would actually be a good idea. We certainly need something. So I approached the lead coach, explained a little about removing interference, and offered to teach the coaching staff what I'd learned about dealing with it. He said, well, clearly we don't have the answers, and he acknowledged that he was willing to try something new. He even said, you know, maybe the boys actually need to hear from someone else. Why don't you teach it to them first? Then we can circle back around and teach us coaches. Now, I laughed when I read that because I thought, that's pretty typical. I could see myself doing that. Here comes the gal, and she's sitting there saying, yeah, I can help you out. You know, that male ego, you know, gets in the way. So, hey, go talk to the boys first. You know, obviously, you could also look at that and say, well, obviously the boys are the problems, not the coaches. So here's what she did. A tournament had been scheduled the following weekend, so I actually rented a spot in our local community sports center and brought in markers and flip charts and took the boys through the process. We begin with goals. Their first goal is we want to play a better team. We want to play as a better team. I said, okay, let's break it down. How do we play better as a team? They decided that better team performance would be the result of better individual performance. Yeah, easy this really is. So they set a team goal, and each of them met with me so that I could help them set their individual goals. Remember yesterday we talked about that. We started with the individual, then we go to team, and then we go to the organization. Well, she moved them through the process. They talked about the reality. You know, they'd been playing poorly. They weren't playing as a team. They were getting frustrated. As they talked, it also came out, listen, this is good, that the coaches were actually creating interference, especially the head coach who tended to yell and scream at the boys. Hey, we've all been at a game. We've all seen that happen. I bet you some other interference is when the parents get involved and start screaming at the boys. So they talked about their options. They realized they could tell the coach, you're really causing us more problems than you're helping. Here's what happened at the end of this story. They went out and played, and they played, and they won. The coaches understand they needed to use a new method. The boys understood they needed to play better individually if they were going to play as a team. Another story that he shares is about a young girl that's playing. Well, actually, she's not playing. She's actually what they call a class 5 level gymnast. But she was having issues doing cartwheels on the beam. Now, I happen to be married to a beautiful woman who coached gymnastics. She was good at gymnastics, went on to coach. Her coach is actually a world-class Olympic coach. His girls have been to the Olympics 3 or 4 times. As I watched this story, it reminded me of my own daughters and what Paige has done to help them in their gymnastic classes. And this girl just kept falling off the beam. So her and her mom sat down, and her mom used the grow approach. And in one thing that her mom said, the girl said to her mom, you know, I remember once my coach saying, keep my eye on the end of the beam. She already had the knowledge, but she wasn't applying it. All of a sudden, the right question, bam, caused her to remember it. She started putting her eye at the end of the beam, and she started making cartwheels. She had a place to focus. See how each one of these stories goes back to using grow correctly. It goes back to having that focus, that fire that we need. See, this is what we all have to remember. If we want to make this work, if we want to make it grow, if we want to be able to use the SMART method, all of the things that we've been learning, then we have to make it really work at everything that we do. We can't just say, okay, we're going to use this when we're at work. We're going to use this, you know, just at sales organizations. No. What we're going to do is we're going to write it down. We're going to buy the book, You Already Know How to Be Great by Alan Fine, and then you're going to adapt it in your life. See, that's the kicker right there. We cannot just take this. You know, I was so blessed, and I'll tell you what I did. I'm going to tell you how I used this, and maybe this will help you, because I realized that I had to have the faith, the fire, and the focus if I wanted to do something very important. So what I did was I was on Facebook. I happened to be a friend over there with Darren Hardy, the editor-in-chief is what I call him. I think they call him the publisher of Success Magazine. I've never met Darren personally, but I've followed what he does. I've adapted some of his training. I actually have stolen some of what he writes, and I've used it, and I don't play dry. I give him the credit for it. But I wrote him, and I said, Darren, I'd really like a copy of your book. I want to review it on the radio. And he wrote me back. And he agreed to that, long story short. But then he sent me an extra gift in there. Instead of just sending me the book, he also sent me CDs. 1, 2, 3, 6 different CDs that I'm going to be able to go over. I'm going to be able to look at. I'm going to be able to listen to. See, what I ended up doing, what I realized must be done, is I had to have the faith that he would first read my actual email to me. Then I had the fire to actually respond back after he had written to me and explain in detail my passion and why I want to do this to serve others. And then I stayed with the focus that I'm going to get a book even if I had to go buy it. I didn't care. I just wanted to be able to get it in my hands and be able to get it out to people. So you can use the GROW method in every aspect of your life. I don't care if it's a two-year-old. You may be saying, Troy, come on, listen to this story here. Helping a two-year-old find their pacifier. Alan writes, my wife and I have to, or actually it's somebody that is a student of his, but he writes, my wife and I have two-year-old twin girls, Brooke and Brianna, who didn't sleep well, which was probably because of my example of staying up late working on the computer. Tonight, Brooke came in to me whining and asking for a pacifier. This would normally have been frustrating to me as I was trying to get work done and she was still awake and indeed, and in need of assistance or attention. We all know that a two-year-old, they always want attention. I have three of them running around here. My typical response would have been to either go and get it for her as quickly and begrudgingly as possible or to yell at my wife in frustration and in a disturbed tone to go get it. Both clearly were not acceptable and would not get Brooke back in bed. But tonight something about the inside-out approach clicked and the conversation went like this. Now this is classic. Listen to this. Me. What's the matter, baby? What do you want? Brooke, my passy. Me. Okay, honey, where is your passy? Brooke, I don't know. Can't find it. Me. Would you like to try to look for it harder if I would help you look? Brooke, yeah, like she understood. Me. If I help you find it, will you go lie down for me? Brooke, yeah. A little bit later, they looked under everything. She found it. Now, that may sound a little bit funny, a little bit hilarious, but when you actually think about it, if you understand what I'm getting at on this series, if you understand what Alan Fine is saying, then you understand that if you use questions, this is all about questions. I'm gonna take away the interference real quick. It's all about questions and listening, something that I've been training personally on teams since I was in the Marine Corps because that's what they taught us. This is nothing new. This is why the Marine Corps has more leaders that come out and run Fortune 500 companies than any other branch of the service. It's because leadership is the main training. Listening, observing, asking questions. Listening, observing, asking questions. See, when we set goals sometimes, we don't have to ask questions. We just write stuff down. But when we use the GROW method and we look at the goals, then we break it into the reality. Then we look at the options, then we look at the way forward. This is the same method, different terminology, that we used in literal battle strategy. When we were sitting down to strategize on what the mission was going to be, we looked at what the objective was. We would check out and figure out what the reality was. Where are we at right now? See, we never used the word grow, so it would look weird if we used, O-R-O-W. It just wouldn't work, but the same principle rings true. Once we had the reality down, then we looked at our options. Then we looked for the way forward. See, with the right questions, it works. You don't want to just ask questions, oh, why am I in this position? Oh, why does this happen to me? See, your internal tonality works too. But if you start asking questions internally and externally, hey, what can I learn from this situation? How can I use this to my advantage? The objective that you're trying to make happen. When you use all of these questions, when you put the questions in correctly, the sky can be the limit. You will change not just yourself, but everyone else that's out there too. See, I personally believe that whether it's Darren Hardy, Bob Brudine, Alan Fine, John Maxwell, Jim Collins, Marcus Buckingham, Tim Sanders, it doesn't matter who it is, Seth Godin, Jesus Christ. The questions that are asked. As I look back on my theology studies, as I look back into studying just the Bible in its context, not looking at it from a spiritual standpoint even, just reading the stories, what's always amazed me about two characters in the Bible, three actually, David, Song of Solomon or King Solomon and Jesus. David was constantly singing his frustrations and his questions to God. Then he would sometimes wait for an answer, other times try to take care of it himself. But that was a common theme. It's a common theme throughout the Bible, actually, that these three actually stand apart. King Solomon, who was the son of David, actually said, "Please give me wisdom above all else, above money, above everything. Please give me wisdom." And I thought, wow, that's pretty slick. And Jesus. Jesus never came and condemned anybody. He came and asked questions. I remember one passage in the Bible that always amused me because it's not something you see from a typical, you know, Christian type church. And we're not, trust me, if you're new to the radio show, we're not going down some theology study here, but what I'm going to do is use this as a practical example. Jesus was at a well. He was in Samaria, a place where they were basically half Jews and half Arabs, basically. It was taboo for the Jewish, you know, pure Jewish people to show up there. It was taboo for pure Arabs to show up there. These were, you know, this was about as racist as you could get in the days of Jesus' era, the Roman Empire. Jesus was at the well. A young lady walks up, hot, sexy, beautiful-looking woman. And Jesus looks at her, and she looks at him, and she says, "Teacher," she could recognize that he was a rabbi. "You know, could I get you some water?" And he basically said, "Yeah, that'd be great." And then he looks at her, and he says, "How come you're basically living with one dude, and you've been married 5, 6, 7 other times?" Ask a question that she didn't even realize he was going to ask. Doesn't condemn her, just starts talking to her. As the conversation builds, she says, "You know what, this is great. You actually took time to talk to me. You've helped me. I would love to share this with the village. Can I go share this with people and have them come back?" And he says, "Sure." Now, here's a woman that on the surface, you say, been married, you know, 5, 6 times. She's shacked up with some dude. You know, she's not really a pure Jew, not pure, you know, she's hanging out. This is kind of weird. This is the influence that she had herself. When she went back and told the village all came to the well to listen to what Jesus had to say. And he asked continual questions, shared parables, helped them individually so that the efforts would grow. Folks, this is what these books all get. Our whole thing is to serve others, to give you the wisdom, to rip out the interference that's there and help you move forward. See, these stories that Alan shares in here, it's phenomenal. Here's one, better options, better relationship with a teen. Says, "The other evening, my 14-year-old daughter came to get my signature on a sheet of paper that would enable her to drop her freshman band and move into a seminar class during the same hour. As she had played the flute since she was in fourth grade and had just made the first chair in the freshman band, you can imagine my concern that my wife and I had at her giving up that part of her life. She said she was having trouble with her mathematics course, and her guidance counselor, who we later discovered had not really taken time to get the whole picture, had recommended a new tutoring program that would help her during school hours. What they did was they sat down and they looked at everything. They asked the right questions to their daughter. Then they began to look for a way forward. How can we help our daughter in the mathematics situation, but how can we keep her in the first chair? As of today, she followed up on one of the alternatives, and I've been able to meet with her counselor about the situation. It turns out that there were other alternatives which had not been considered because of the incomplete picture that was given to her. It looks like we'll be able to salvage her academic efforts while still allowing her to stay in the band." All from using the GROW approach. Another story is about anorexia. Whoa, now we're talking about mental and how the GROW method can work. Alzheimer's and how the GROW method can work. And here's why. When you ask questions, and now we're going to get a little bit into the psychology here. when you ask questions, it stimulates the firing mechanisms in the brain. And the more that you stimulate the brain, the more that you use those brain cells, the more that you fire off those thought processes, the better the mind will work. Now, without a doubt, I'm no doctor, I'm no scientist, I'm no psychologist, psychiatrist, or anything above board. If anything, I would be classified an amateur psychologist because I deal with people all the time. I deal with teenagers. I've got six kids and a boatload of grandkids. But see, here's the kicker. At the end of the day, it all revolves around us. We have to look inside, ask those right questions, come up with the right answers. We use that GROW method. We look at our goals. What are our goals? What is the reality of what we're trying to do? What are the options that we have to work with, and then what's our way forward? If we just write that on a 3x5 card and keep it with us daily and use it, there's no reason under the sun that we cannot see our life change in every aspect. Now, you may wonder, if you're new to the show, hey, Troy, do you walk your walk? Absolutely not. I screw this up on a daily basis just like everybody else. I'm still a student in learning, but I keep growing and I keep growing. Better and better at it. Still a long ways to go. We all are that way. We're all students at heart. And if we continue to be students all the way up until the end, it'll work. Maybe you're a young lady on this call and you've been in a divorce or you're single. Maybe you're a guy. It doesn't matter. What about if you could use the GROW method to figure out what guy you should date? Here's a story that Alan shares that I think is unique. I was at the airport with a young woman who was a peer of mine who'd just been to a training program, and the whole trip she'd been talking about these two guys that she was dated and how frustrating she was because she couldn't decide between them. And this had been going on for about 6 months. Finally, I could tell she wasn't going anywhere with this, and I just about had had enough. So as we sat at the airport restaurant, I just jumped into the GROW questions. Well, what's happening? What have you tried so far? What's working and what hasn't worked? What's going to happen if you don't do something about this? Trust me, there's not a guy out there that likes to share his woman with another guy. Well, I'm sure there are, but they're more whacked out than I am. Within 25 minutes, she came to a clear conclusion about whom she was going to continue to date. She said, I just can't believe it. I've been wrestling with this for 6 months, and it's so clear to me now. She had some criteria in her brain, but she'd never really sat down and worked through the issues. The very next day, she confidently went out and broke up with one of the guys so that she could focus on her relationship with the other. Let's use this for a minute in closing. We got 6 minutes left. Notice that she had two guys. She was fond of them. She was attracted to them. She was enjoying the relationship with them, or she wouldn't have been dating them both for 6 months and months and having a hard time deciding, oh my gosh, which one should I be with? She also probably had been asking herself questions like, what if I make the wrong decision? What happens if he doesn't want to be with me? What happens if he's been dating somebody else and decides he doesn't want to date me and he's going to date the other girl and I broke up with the other guy? Yeah, see how this could go on and on. But yet she made a decision. Folks, this rings true whether you're building a network marketing business, trying to grow your own business, whatever. You've heard people say you got to have a plan B. Although I'm not against that totally, here's what I do think. I do not think you can serve two masters at once. I don't think you can give full committed dedication to two different things at one time. In this case, the girl couldn't give commitment to two guys. Guys can't give total commitment to two girls. If you're trying to build one business and then you're over here looking at the other trying to build another business and, oh, there's another one you're trying to build, it just doesn't work at the end of the day. Which one is the best one? Which one should your people go to? Why are you attracted to it? See, the list can go on and on. You need to make a solid 100% commitment, bar none. On Facebook today, I put up a real American story about a young lady that at 13 years old, her family and her left Iran in the black of night across the desert. The smugglers that were getting them out said, "You got to hold on tight to the back of us. We're going on motorcycles across the desert. If we're caught, we will all be killed." The Ayatollah Khomeini had once nobody leaving this country. Her dad jumped on a bike, grabbed a hold of the smuggler, getting him out of the country, and off they went. She could see the red light on the bicycle going in the distance. Next bike was the mom. On she jumped. Off they took. Little girl jumps on the bike behind her smuggler, and he starts the bike up, and off they go, and the motor dies. He could not get it started. He says to this little 13-year-old Iranian girl, whose mom and dad are now gone, and all she sees is the darkness of the desert, he says, "You do not leave this bike. I will be back for you." She sets on the bike. The night starts to turn to day. The sun starts to climb. The vultures start to circle. She starts to cry. Will I ever see my mom again? Will I ever see my dad? She could see the patrol vehicles across the way as they looked for people trying to be smuggled out. Was she going to die this way? She was committed to one thing, her freedom. She was committed to getting back with her family. She was committed to doing what he had told her to do no matter what. She didn't even know if he was going to bring back some Iranian soldiers who would do some evil things to her. In the distance, she could see two figures walking. As they got closer, she saw one of them was the smuggler. The other one was the mechanic. She started to cry. And he started to shake her and say, "I am a good guy. I would not leave you here. I would not harm you. You will get to go to freedom." Her undying commitment to be back with her family in freedom at 13 years old has led her to be reunited not just with her family but with her aunt, and they run one of the most successful bakeries in Atlanta, Georgia. Sure, she didn't use the grow method, but she used the philosophy behind the grow method. She stayed committed. She knows what freedom is. She knows what the American dream is. She knows what undying commitment to one major goal is all about, and that's what she did. The question is, will you do that? The question is, are you ready right now to say enough is enough? And right now I'm going to take this to a new level. Right now I am moving forward. Right now I'm going to do exactly what I have to do to make my business work, to make my marriage work, to build the relationship with my son or my daughter, to fulfill my dream, to become an author, an actor, a business person, to become a school teacher, a policeman, a fireman, whatever it is your passion truly is. Are you willing to do exactly what it takes to make it happen? If you're willing to do that, then there's no reason that you should not have success. Go buy Alan's book, You Already Know How to Be Great, because I believe you do. Simple way to remove your interference and unlock your greatest potential. Two websites. You can go to alan-fine.com, learn more about Alan. You can go to InsideOutDEV for development, InsideOutDev.com, and learn about how you can learn to use more about the Inside Out method. Folks, I'll tell you what, I get excited about these radio shows. I get excited about what we do. Now, I wanted to let you know something. We've had a little bit of change in plans. We were going to finish this series up on Friday, and we may still do that, but I've got to be out of town on Friday. An emergency has come up with my family. So if we don't have the radio show on Friday, we'll finish it on Monday. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking at what do you do when. That's going to be fun. You're going to love that chapter. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.